John.
Alrighty. Yeah. Okay, I call the December 5th, 2017 Special Projects and Facilities Committee meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, 7:04. Member Bourne?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yep.
Chair Brooks?
Yes.
All right, also here is Commissioner Ludden and Commissioner Underdunk. Thank you.
Okay, so should I just introduce you?
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa is going to take over now with the review of playground designs for the three parks, one in Jefferson, Old Elm, and Woodlawn.
Excellent. Well, thank you for our audience for coming. We appreciate you being here to give some input. There will also be things. So what we're going to do is we're going to show a preliminary designs for three parks. So it would be Vernon, Jefferson, Old Elm, and Woodlawn Parks. So what we're going to do is that we're going to let Altamanu and John and Josephine go through all the parks at once, all three of them back to back, so you can see the theme, you can see all the different equipment we have in it. Then we're going to circle back around and discuss individually each park so that the board can have some input, ask questions, and the community can ask questions. So I would like to introduce John and Josephine from Altamanu, who have done all the designs for these parks. So turn it over to you. Turn it over to John.
Anyway,
she's behind the scenes.
Last time I started off with great photographs of West Park, and we've got a lot to do tonight, so I'm not going to show you lots of photographs of Tacket, but I want to congratulate Chris and Josie for actually getting, I don't know, a fire lit under the contractor, and I hear we got all our asphalt in today.
I did, yeah.
So with all the concerns and the tanks and all the problems and discoveries, still managed to get it done in time. Okay. So, delighted as usual to be here. See you all. Tonight, review the concepts, as we heard Lisa talk about. Please note that the playground recommendations and concepts that the staff and board made are in there. They may not be in one individual park, but you'll probably find a recommendation you've made somewhere in there. And also the staff have reviewed these, and in some cases they've taken things out or merged things together already. Old Elm, there it is, you can see just north of where we are at Tacket. When we move in a bit, you can see the playground there just on the bend, with the golf course on the other side of the train tracks and Turnbull Woods to the north. I'm switching it now, north is to the left, and you can see the existing playground, and then just to the north of there is this very large drainage structure that we'll see an image of later. When you come around the corner, you can see the split rail fence, and then the main playground, a drinking fountain, and then the property stretches back towards the tracks in a triangle for, here it is, two slides, monkey bars. And you can see the sandbox is very close right into the main playground, which means it gets covered completely in mulch. Also, at the back of the playground, it immediately drops down to a ditch and the tracks. And then to the north, you can see all of that is Park District property, but it's pretty much solid vegetation, which is used by the local kids for various enjoyable activities as well as nefarious ones. Here's the drainage structure. It's not done for aesthetics, it's purely practical. A lot of the area drains across the street, Old Elm, and through there, and across the train tracks. Looking back from the north, you can see it's fairly dense. It's all volunteer vegetation. So concepts, because of the train, we started talking about sound. And you can see there's some very strange interpretations of the noises that trains make. I can see the wee girl over there is already finding it interesting. I particularly like the Korean one, chick chick pop pop, which our trains don't sound like. Anyway, the other is another concept, the sound of trees, because when we're there, the wind blowing through the trees were wonderful, and you can try your mouth around that particular word. Satourism,
That's
which is
for me.
The sound of wind in the trees. And this is from Mr. Frost, who was probably one of the great writers on trees. Trees continue with their endless discussion. Listen to the noise of the trees, emulate their movements, sway back and forth, and pull out your roots out of the ground. Here's the plan. North is up. We've split it into a main playground and a next phase or an alternative. So sound. So how, since the train is going by, obviously people are used to sound. So how can we bring it into the design? Does anyone recognize these sculptures? Bertoia, who was such a big deal in the 60s and 70s. And what we try to do is bring something like this into the playground for kids to play with. Also, various types of musical equipment. And this was a recommendation from the board. It's a xylophone, but also there's a book that comes with it. And that book has all of these songs that you can actually bang out on the xylophone done by color.
Is the book like laminated or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like hard plastic.
It's thick, yeah.
And this will not be positioned directly against the house next door. Josie came up with this idea that the entire pavement, the circuit, would be used by kids to run, but also for tricycles. And then they could go over these rumble strips that would make noise.
This neighborhood does not have sidewalks through it, so the kids have hard time. There's no... Yeah, yeah.
And then various additions to the equipment that can make noise. And then in the sandbox, to have fossils and various objects that the kids can unearth. And for seating, to change the norm of seating, Josie designed these and had them built by a local prefab company, and they'd be very popular at the local school in Oak Park. And then the other thing, as we were suggesting or thinking about, is a precast, what we're calling a gathering home. So kids love to have places to get together, and gathering spaces of different scales. So the idea of this is to have small mounds with these set into the mounds. Different groups of kids can be in different ones. This is a blow of the plan. So at the moment, there's no striped crosswalk here. I think it's probably a good idea. You come in. We've had various accounts of whether we're going to have a drinking fountain or not. But it'd be good to have, certainly, the bike racks. And then here's the circuit. And these are the rumble strips, so kids can run all the way around, and most play is in a circular fashion. If we notice on the opening day of the Discovery Zone, there's five girls who were trying to go from piece to piece without touching the ground. Mound, here's one of the gathering bowls, so bring in some mounds around the edges of the space to really focus attention in there. Bench, typical. We might even push the idea of a sandbox a little further away. That's got fossil dig in it. Major pieces of equipment that we'll look at. Some pebble seating spread around the place. And of course, swings and another mound. So the entire place is sort of ringed by small mounds. We also found that small mounds are probably the most popular thing in any playground with little kids, and this is for little kids. Swings, and here's the equipment. We can't afford all of this equipment. It's for the young kids, 2 to 5 here, which you can see it's all musically themed. It's also got a group swing, which is always popular, and slides, of course. And this is just a bridge. You don't have to worry about it, Chris.
Colors are optional as well.
Yeah, don't get stuck on the colors. Yeah.
So this is 5 to 12, so they have this climbing net and bridge and a long slide. if we had the money, potentially leading into the next section would be a tunnel. We wouldn't suggest a tunnel if we were working in a lot of other communities, but I think this one is fairly safe, and there wouldn't be any issues. The next phase, the piece to the north, we're trying to do something a little different and something romantic or even magical. Because it's set in trees, we wanted to do this, create a secret garden, calling it beads, bells, and butterflies. So the idea is to make something for little kids to be really enthralled. That's something that they wouldn't find anywhere else. So in this drawing, you've got the existing vegetation and a little kid with a gateway. The gateway could be made out of standard metal tubes, and Josie's a very good welder. And has done pieces like this, not as detailed. So you just bend the bars around the main piece, not that typical to make. And then we're looking for a feeling like this in that area of the trees. And we found digital fireflies that light up and last for years. So the idea is to have things like this. We get Chris up on a ladder and he can stick all these in a very economical.
This is the stuff that they don't tell me about ahead of time, so they can always see the look on my face when they come up with it. That's cool. Really cool.
And of course, within the woods, just the natural inspiration of being in the woods. Okay, so here's the existing playground. Here's that drainage swale. This site continues up here. This is all owned by the park district. So long term, something for you to consider doing this. So here's your playground, here's that area. I don't know what you call it, the secret garden. But the potential over the years to add other phases and even put in a prefab bridge, a small one, to get across that swale and bring you into a whole other area. So this could become part of a long-term plan for this playground. So not just a playground, but an actual park with a completely different theme. Next one, Vernon and Jefferson. And here it is, but it's in the part of an amazing system of open spaces. Quite extraordinary. Easily down to Watts Park, you've got the Ice Center, South School, the Reserve, which is quite extraordinary. I believe the mosquitoes are phenomenal, but I haven't experienced such yet. Linden Park, which I really like, and it's most unusual in shape. And then Woodlawn with some of the best oaks in the area. So, of course, we would love to do something with this space. There's almost nothing here. There's a path, baseball field, and a couple of desire lines created by the kids just walking across to go to school. But there could be small events all the way through here. Nothing too outrageous. There are beautiful trees. You don't want anything too garish. But rather than just a continuation of similar green spaces the whole way along, maybe something of interest. However, we were told to keep ourselves under control.
Who does that sound like?
And here it is, the wee playground right there. There's actually sort of a drop in grade there. It just dips down a little. This is looking towards the house next door, and the playground is all along there across the edge. There's a layer of evergreens and volunteer shrubbery between the house and the playground. The playground itself, Chris has already removed a lot of the equipment. There are superb trees, as we found in a lot of the open spaces here. Gorgeous. It's honey locust. Just superb. So obviously we intend to save those, and that restricts what we can do. We don't want to mess with their roots. On the corner is one of these drinking fountains, historic drinking fountains, that Chris gave me the original drawings from, which I need to get scanned.
Wow.
Quite charming. Anyway, we started with this, two schemes. So north is up, the house will be there or there. One was a moonscape with equipment spread out through the landscape. And the other was one that had a theme of topography, evergreens, and a very compact use of the site, and staff suggested putting the two together. So here's your topography and evergreens, quick sketch. And then hopefully we'll have to see what we can afford, because there are many different things, and we're not quite there yet. But we really like creating independent characters, unusual characters for each space, to give it something that's totally different. And I've been wanting to do this type of path for a long time and haven't managed to do one. So they're very large pieces. So you'd have ADA access across the center of the path, but then the paths would spread out. And you know, if this is near a playground, it will become covered in chalk and will become part of the playscape. Also the potential use of ground covers around some of the trees. And then swings, of course, sand, of course. But we looked at different types. Actually, it was Josie who came up with the idea of the moonscape. So all different types of climbing boulders. So they're at the moment at alternates. We're not quite sure where we're going to go. So you can get some very strange ones. I'm not quite sure what that brings to mind for you, but a little unusual. And the rocket ship. And look at this one. Rocket ship has a retro chic look.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brings back memories. The design has survived the passage of time. Mm-hmm. Who said that?
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah.
So this was Chris's tale. And so this is something unusual. You've got a tall slide. You can get them 8, 10, and 12 feet.
I love it.
So here's the plan. Here's the residence. The idea is a screen of evergreens. The strange path coming down from the north that brings you to a central space, and you know the kids are going to run around that, and then out here, and then spreading out the pieces so you get separate environments, sand, swings, the rocket, and then the potential of these boulders. And again, in towards the residence to add mounds to help create a barrier and enclosure. Good Lord, look at these beautiful, beautiful oak trees. So it's at the other end of these green spaces. Here it is, and it's Woodlawn, Green Bay, and Linden. There's the playground right in the middle. And certainly you can notice noise coming from Green Bay, and the other streets are very calm. Major stands of mature oaks, absolutely superb trees. Desire lines, people who are trying to go to the bus stop, and then kids coming and going to school. So looking from the northwest corner, you can see individual oaks, but also there's one stand here in the distance, another great stand of oak trees on the right, and then the playground in the center. Here's the easternmost stand. They're not the oldest ones, but they're quite beautiful. And then the wee bus stop, which is actually in good condition. It's amazing. In Chicago, this would be in an appalling state. Quite pleasant. Starting in the southwest corner, Linden, there's a hedge that separates the park from houses. And then you can see straight away a slight rise in these beautiful oaks. These are massive. So from the playground, looking back towards the south. And I hope that gives an idea of scale. You can see there are sort of large spaces amidst them that could be places for gathering for kids, families, picnics. And then the apartment building has little outdoor spaces, patios back there, which they've hidden behind this mixture of evergreens and then the easternmost part has a fence. Striking features for us, the historic oaks. The space, it's the first place we've worked that had any space, being sort of in these small spaces. And then the sound from Green Bay. So more than 80% of oak savanna is gone in the Midwest. Oak Savanna actually supports, is known to support over 600 species, rare and endangered species in many cases, butterflies, moths, etc. One large oak absorbs 5,400 gallons of storm water in a year. So imagine just what those oaks are doing. And you can see oak ecosystems in Illinois, $2 million worth of flood control, just from practical nature. And also a large oak will remove 1,000 pounds of carbon dioxide a year from the atmosphere. Mm. Absolutely phenomenal. Planting an oak is an act of faith. And it really is, because they're slow growing. Planting oak savanna will revivify forgotten Glencoe landscape. Mm. On the old maps, Glencoe was part of oak savannas. They're iconic, majestic, their ecosystems instill a sense of place and regional identity and link us to our natural heritage. And it was Chris again who said it amazed him when we were in Lakefront Park that some of those oaks were probably around when we were signing the Declaration of Independence. There's also a recovery plan that we could be part of. It was begun by Chicago Wilderness. It doesn't really exist anymore. The wilderness exists, but the organization doesn't. But it's the recovery plan. It's funded by USDA, Forest Service, US Fish and Wildlife. Lake County is involved, and the Morton Arboretum. And immediately we were thinking this could be a place for future grants to assist in preserving, restoring, and expanding the oak ecosystem. Some of the animals that particularly are associated with oak savanna. Our own interest is in butterflies, which are almost exterminated in some mm-hmm. cases. And monarchs are down by almost 90%. So, grasses. When we were talking to staff, they suggested movement. Something that would be important. And sound came up as well. So we immediately thought about grasses. Now, I did have a video of walking through prairie grasses in wind, but I knew if I tried to put it in the PowerPoint, I would mess it up and it wouldn't happen. So you'll have to use your imagination. How wonderful it is
pretty cool.
to watch long prairie grasses. And you could have an image like this, so I'll bring that. And of course, it changes over the seasons. You get sound and you get movement, and kids would love it. So, what do you think are the most popular piece of equipment in a playground?
Swings.
You're brilliant. Of course, they
walked right into it.
So, what this idea was to make a meta swing. So, since they're the most popular, there's always a line. And people say, I don't even want a swing because the kids will line up and they won't do anything else. So let's give them a meta swing, a huge swing, something completely different that can have different types of swings inserted. So whatever you want can become part of this. Staff suggests an expression swing, one of these, which is very cool when you're actually in there with your child. But of course, most of these days we like group swings and ADA accessible swings. Another suggestion, I think it came from the board, of this particular spinner, which really gives an amazing amount of play for large groups of kids, but you can have smaller ones. And then a tower with various moving pieces, and of course climbing up the center. And another suggestion was zip lines for sort of competitions. And then how about something mysterious set in the landscape somewhere? It may not be this. Please, you know, something besides play equipment. I wasn't allowed to show a sculpture.
Touché, Jan.
How about a sculpture?
Anyway, we did 7 plans. Staff selected 3 to go through. So here we are. You can see Woodlawn, the main copse of oak here and here. So starting with the desire lines, you can go right through and up to the bus stop, or come through here, go this way. But we've also found that one of the most popular things in parks is a periphery wall. And we just completed a park where people weren't using the park very much. We put in a periphery walk, and every morning now there are seniors doing laps. So it brings you through different environments, through the oak savanna. And when we get into the roots of the oaks, we raise up the path on a broad walk. So you get different materials. You can actually walk into the oak savanna, but you don't impact it. Simple things like, you know, bike racks at the entries. You can see the list. It accommodates the desire lines. The equipment is actually in colored bubbles. So it's sort of like a Kandinsky painting. You can find the piece you want, and we'll see you in the purple bubble or the red bubble.
That's the color of the
ground. The color of the ground.
Brown color.
Yeah. So in here with the swings, these are the massive swings, the meta swings. It would be just wood chips. Here's the zip line. Let's see. And then grasses along Green Bay, which you can sort of walk along the edge. Okay. Move on. All right. This one, very strong desire lines. Actually sort of sets it up. It's got a circular form, which is good for kids' play. It's got a circular path, but we use part of the woodlawn path to bring you through. Protects the oaks again with this raised boardwalk. And you can go right through the oak savanna, which would be a very nice experience, and the grasses. It also ramps up to this central space. It's not very high though, because the ramps of 1 to 20 don't get too far in this. So it's only about 32 inches high. So we have large and small gathering spaces, ones you discover, like these ones, and then a large central space. So yeah, there are gathering pods, like we showed you a sketch of, in the just north of the oak savanna. Let's see, picnic spaces, and then you've got most of your equipment, or nearly all your equipment, in here, so kids can run around from one to the other. We still have difficulty with these sandboxes. I think that needs to move away from the motion. But you get the idea, okay? Now, the one we really like, and of course, we're not going to try and influence you, this he's still alive, and he is the greatest designer of children's environments in the world, or at least he's recognized as one. He's been designing playgrounds for, I don't know, 55, 60 years. So these are his sayings taken from his book. Most playground games involve some form of chase. Children like playgrounds. They can run around, but also one that has a shortcut. Some confusion is necessary, and then play structures must be public art. I think that's very important for a lot of really ugly play structures. But here's the list. Play follows a circular route. Children must be able to experience variations within that circle. The circle must contain a symbolic high point. So these are his successful playgrounds. Circle must contain a place where children can experience dizziness. Kids love to be messed up, don't they? They can spin on them already. Circle must contain large and small gathering spaces. There must be shortcuts. Circle must be accessible through a number of points, so it can be porous space. Okay, so this one. It accommodates the desire lines, sort of a roundabout way, gets you up there and you can come back. But most things are concentrated into this circular form. It's an inner path system that you can run around in, but you've also got multiple paths within that, as he was suggesting, like the shortcuts, you know, you can sort of run around and catch people. It protects the tree roots with boardwalks, so it's raised. But also what we're doing in this case is really going for, so we're creating a high spot here, which can be up to 9 feet tall if we want. we're not sure how high we wish to go. And as the kids go up the route, they can take slides down from different points and different heights. So if you're not feeling that brave, you can take this one, or you can go up to the main structure and go down that. Also, it's up close to the oaks, so you'll have an ascending experience of going by the tree trunks at a higher level. Then you can come down back into the circular path system. It's the symbolic high point. It allows kids to view all of the equipment. They can experience their dizziness. They can run under this platform. It's porous. So you can enter almost completely 360. It's a porous space. You've got surprise and small gathering spaces in the trees and a picnic grove, and you've got a central gathering space here. Gathering pods in the clearings, grasses up against Green Bay, and then completion of the evergreen screening, so we actually isolate the park from the surrounding apartments. We've got the swings, spinners, etc., all contained in here. That's it.
All right. Should we go back to Old Elm first and discuss it?
Close your eyes.
Very nice, yeah.
There's the dizziness.
Can you go back to the play equipment part?
With Old Elm? Starting here?
Next one, probably.
We're looking at this as a piece. The xylophone and book.
The one that had like more than the elements of the stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if I don't need to see that one.
These.
Yeah.
So standard swings. And this is a bridge. It's very hard to see this actually. So they got monkey bars, and then you got a slide down. You've got a group swing. You can make noise on this. And there's the vertical one.
One of the things that playground manufacturers do is they give you really wild colors so you can delineate between the pieces. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see the difference between the pieces. I mean, we've looked at more of an earth tone scheme for this, like we've done at Astor and Shelton. So some of these colors are a little more aggressive than we might see in a neighborhood park, just as a point.
And this is a toddler piece right here, right?
Yeah. This is the toddler piece, yes.
Is there a 512 at this park, or is it?
Yep.
Just
this one. So this gives the opportunity to climb.
What?
And then to get up and then go down the main slide.
Stephanie, if you've seen what you wanted to see in these pictures, it would help me.
Any comments? Cool.
Did you see what you wanted to see?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I didn't know what you were asking.
Can you put it on the overhead?
What's that?
Can you put it on the overhead?
You'd like to see the plan.
Oh, the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
While you're pulling that up, I just wanted to comment that I'm thrilled with the imaginative scope of all the designs you put forward. I'm very, very excited by just the creativity that's been brought forward again.
Thank you. Very glad you feel that way.
Yeah, very excited.
So on this plan, where is the toddler section? If you can point it out for them.
North.
Yeah, it is. I just wanted to point out. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And so the 5-12 was the one kind of in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can swap it around as well.
I think it's the other way around.
You think it's around?
I think it is, yeah,
so
I agree.
Get the little kids in here.
See the big slide pointing north?
This one?
Yeah.
So a general comment that applies to this as well as to Woodlawn is that I remember when I had little kids. You know, the desire to keep an eye on them, and especially to keep them away from the road.
Yes.
So, you know, to the extent that the adult seating is close to where the young kids in particular are going to be, and that those kids are the furthest away from the road.
Okay. Good point.
good point. One of the things I'm thinking as I'm looking at this, among all the really fabulous things floating in my head, is that this makes it look like the space is much bigger than
exactly.
It really is. So concerns about, like, and I've had that because my kids are spread really widely apart in ages, concerns about being able to keep an eye on them are, this makes it seem as if it's going to be more difficult than it really is, because the space, from my recollection actually going there, is not that terribly big.
A lot of
visuals are like this.
Give you the impression.
Right, and there's a split rail
fence
so along
me?
The road and so forth. But, yeah.
How big in this room is it?
I particularly
in this room,
like
just
this,
an idea how big
especially
like the difference between the pieces.
Community
no.
To have this
the footprint of the playground.
And
how big
you're
is
right,
it in this
that's
room?
How my kids always used to play. They would have loved
like,
this.
Like, is it half this room? Or is it a quarter of this room?
Oh, it's probably this one.
Park, we have
no, because not the whole thing, not the add on.
Boards and.
That will really help that because they will run around that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to be a nice addition there. That big swing that you showed here, when we commented on this before, we found that when we actually go and walk through the park, they don't really do that much of that swing. We did
the group swing.
That particular style of it. We did see one when we went to the conference that was more of like a merry-go-round mm-hmm, that had three seats. And that was a piece that we really liked when we set it on the floor. I think that might be a good space for it.
I feel like that swing goes in all different directions. That one you're showing there,
yes.
It's like a tire swing, right? It's
yeah.
Like a modern variant.
Yeah.
It is like
that one that we saw at the conference or the ones we've seen pictures of, because those don't seem to get much use and the kids can't propel themselves on it. So it's hard, you know, the parents still have to swing them, whereas in a tire swing they could do it themselves.
Does this function like a tire swing, just to clarify? You sit on it and you...
It does?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has
the...
Okay.
It goes through, it's not, the feet can touch the ground.
I don't know about that.
We'll find out.
They can hang lots of different swings in that bay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We could choose, you know, the structure, we can choose other add-ons to that that have the ability to touch your feet to the ground.
Well, I mean,
very good suggestion.
I like the musical thing. I don't know if we need it in the whole playground. It may be limiting some of the features.
Mm-hmm. Well, we won't be able to afford all of them.
We're at budget, if not a little higher, but than the budget right now as it stands. So if you think about adding more
to it,
we're over budget already. So we would probably have to look at
taking stuff out.
So perhaps, Stephanie, what you're alluding to is not necessarily removing the actual musical pieces, but maybe if we save money by not having a note at the top of it, or sort of the decorative, thematic decorative sort of things that
maybe it's not hugely impactful.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so do you guys think that the outlying musical pieces affect that give you that sound feeling where you might be able to accept a little bit more of a traditional playground versus something like this that's more musically themed throughout, like panels and shape? Is that the feedback, or is it just there's one particular piece you don't like?
Well, I kind of want to see what the community and kind of the people who live over there is before I really say that. I like the little stone pieces there for the seating. I think that's great. Kids will love that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we necessarily need to that big space over there. That could be like a, and while I understand our budget, that could be like a really nice piece of equipment where that rack is.
Oh, the sort of gathering this thing?
Yeah, that's like a nice big space focal point, and might be nice to have a piece of equipment there rather than that, because they're going to be sitting on the other side. Well, I know where
I have noticed that it is nice. I mean, it's just my own, you know, observation that when girls play, they do like to have a place to gather. I don't want to gender specify, but I've noticed that, and that is kind of a nice, you know, playground doesn't have to be all running around crazy. It can be also a time to sit and, you know, sort of. And I'm guessing that's less expensive than an actual piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's pricey.
It doesn't require a safety service.
Right, right.
And it's on a mound in this case, so it sort of creates a mystery of going back into the discovery area.
It's probably maybe a third the cost of a piece of equipment.
Okay.
Quarter.
Gotcha. Okay. And is open to different interpretations for use, I would suppose. Yes. Okay.
And there's currently a sandbox at that park, I believe.
Correct.
Correct.
So I noticed that we added some where there's not, and we'll get to those other parks.
All the parks have sandboxes currently.
Woodlawn has a sandbox?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. I think it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you don't see it very well. It's kind of buried, but
yeah.
A lot of them, as we say, got buried.
They have chips on them.
Yeah.
So you don't even realize they're there.
Mm. If you were asking for the sandbox,
yeah, based on the fact that they're already there. The sand gets refreshed every year.
Lisa and Lisa Shepard in the Active Trans meeting, you were part of the group for TAFIF Center. Somebody, I don't know who it was, obviously, because I was in the other group, but somebody talked about someday a trail from TAFIF to here, to the forest preserve. Obviously, that's not a short-term thing.
Right.
But anyway, we can anticipate that in this design.
Would this prevent, if you go back to the thing, would it prevent a trail on the back side of the property?
Please.
We talked about that.
Sure. Yeah. So what you're talking about would be, this would be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our toughest area. Yeah.
There's a ditch and then there's the railroad fence.
Yeah.
There really isn't very much space there. So that's a real pinch point that runs down into Chris's work yard. You could then come along here and certainly go through there.
So there's enough space there.
There is.
To prevent it, yeah.
Grading issue, but you could do it. And if you close your eyes for a second. Sorry. This is all subliminal, you remember every single one of those images. We already thought about that, because if you go up into Turnbull Woods, this is a closer look, so it would be extremely difficult also to get through here, because this is actually a wetland. This drains here, all of this drains in. There's a pipe underneath here.
Correct.
That also drains here, so...
Yeah, I'm not trying to engineer this now. I know that's...
Yeah, long term.
It's
you just
a
want to know
theoretical
room.
Possibility, but not something we're going to do in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But I just want to, I think it's a brilliant overall idea to link together all of these assets.
And it goes up to Lake Cook.
Right.
We worked on that extension.
I think it would be really cool for kids at TAFIF to be able to get into the forest preserve, which they just, I mean, they've invested tons of money in the last few years. So all I'm saying is, in the design of this playground, let's not do anything that we would 5 years from now regret.
We do have an area for walking path if that should ever happen long term.
Lisa, so, Chris, the way it is now, can we get people at kids from TAFIF, the early learning kids, the preschool kids, can we get them on an outing over there?
They would have to go out.
They have to go on the street. The sidewalk.
Camp does go there.
Okay.
Preschools, it would be a longer outing.
It's too long for
Yeah, they could, but it's a little bit longer of an outing.
Okay.
Day camp definitely goes. We'll go there on that.
When we refine the concept, we can show the distance that the developed structures are from the property line the next time we bring it, just so we can get an understanding of what additional space is there if for future phases or ideas. I mean, I think that's very reasonable. I mean, we have that information from the survey, so we can do that with no problem.
Right.
I'm not trying to over-design this, right, but I was just wondering if maybe that right part of the trail, you know, where the sandbox is. Yeah, if that right part of the loop, right next to where your pointer was maybe just a little wider or something. So instead of putting another trail like to the right of everything there, right, if the trail through the playground, that was just a little wider. I don't know. I'm trying to open
that. That's a possibility, but our concern would be someone doing 15, 20 miles on a bike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a little kid runs up.
That's a fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be my fear, too.
I have a question. Some of these wonderful, innovative ideas specifically are trying to implement ways of not affecting our stately trees' root systems, and that's terrific. Chris, do you see any problems with maintaining these elevated walkways or the rumble strip walkways? Because I like that a lot. I would just, I always like to run things by you to say, what are we going to be able to deal with after Altman New and the contractors leave?
I mean, it's obviously going to be more work than a sidewalk. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, it's not going to last 75 years out there, like I'd like concrete would. But Altman New sold me on it. I mean, you can see that it's not the whole park. It's not adjacent to the road where salt would get on the material and cause the material to degrade very quickly. I don't see a concern with it. I mean, it's going to be regular maintenance like anything, but I mean, they're short areas. It's not a park that is attracting 2,000 and 3,000 visitors a day, so I don't see a concern with it.
I think the benefits far outweigh the additional maintenance, because there will be, but they're going to design it in a way that he could take out a board and put a board back in and make it so difficult, because we discussed that also as a concern, what's the material and how easy it is to take one out and put it in if it rots. But just the benefit of that is, I think, outweighs it, we decided.
I certainly see those walkways lasting the lifespan of the playground. I mean, if we're looking at 18 to 25 years for the structures, I think the pathways will last that long without a doubt.
Great, okay. Lisa, what are you looking for from us today on each of these?
Well, I think we, just some of the input you're giving, if you like the direction we're going, if you like the play equipment that we're going, keeping in mind that we are at budget, so we will have to take some stuff out. So when we're talking about this, we can't put a 50-pound potatoes in a 10-pound sack. So just keep that in mind. I think we want some input if anybody has from the community. Is that okay if we?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any input?
Okay.
Yeah. Please speak really loud.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Abella Nathan-Mamburi, and I am a neighbor of this Old Town Park, and I've been living there for 30 years almost, and I have 6 kids who use our playground. And first of all, I'm very grateful that finally you guys took into consideration our playground. So, and at least my littlest one, the last one, maybe we will have by your time a new playground. However, there are a couple. May I?
Yes.
Maybe, you know, she's the one who uses the last. Maybe do you want to say, what would you like to see at this playground first? Okay, it's zip line. This is one of the, you know, I've noticed that when kids go to the playground, they love, I mean, climbing is one thing, but those zip lines, the longer it gets, the better, you know, for a kid. So zip line, for sure. Swings, obviously, the most popular equipment. Right now, we have four swings. There are two baby swings and two regular swings. They're all the same, basically, in height. And so, and kind of getting boring too, so we can have variety and at least enhance it.
Can you say what kind you know of?
We like, you know, the ones that kind of like, I don't know what they call them, kind of round, where they have them in Millennium, Naked Daily Park right now.
Oh, they call them the woven?
Yeah.
They're the little woven seats. You know, they're kind of circular.
Are they used by more than one kid at a time?
They can be. If you put a place a little larger, I think there's probably different sizes. I've seen them in multiple different sizes. Some of them are more than one. These kind of are a single one, so you might discuss whether you want single or
large. Okay. That's a nice alternative. In terms of music, I mean, the whole thing is great, but I'm just thinking of my neighbors because the park is very close to several houses there and some of the retired people, so I don't know how much they would appreciate listening to xylophone music, you know, or radio.
A lot of us can't hear so well.
I knew this.
Definitely, I would like to have, like, to see at least several slides, different sizes, so you can kind of, you know, because our neighborhood is so diverse in terms of age. We have, like, toddlers to, you know, teenagers, and everybody uses the park because it's literally, like, we call it our own park, basically, for all the kids that around there. And it does not attract 3,000 rather than black residents, because it's so hidden, it's like a hidden in Glenwood, it's very private. Now, what I also heard about sidewalks, Lisa, you're absolutely right, there are no sidewalks, but and what's happening to our park is still popular to the park district because a lot of preschool programs, and my kids went through the preschool programs in the park district, and they did walk to our park a lot. And because there are no sidewalks getting to our park, you know, the kids were required either, you know, to walk on residents' properties or just to watch out for cars. So safety issue is a big issue there. You know, we're talking about camps are coming to our park a lot, you know, and all the preschool programs, 2, 3, 4 years old programs. So this park is actually, especially when spring, summer comes, is used a lot. So that's something to take into consideration. Now, we also have, as you said, beautiful trees that are in the forest preserve, but we also plant, because our neighborhood is very close, and if sometimes also what happens, we get together and we honor people who passed away. So several trees that are planted in this park are in memory of those beloved people. So, you know, also, our park is a very popular place for neighborhood parties that we have at least twice a year. So it's a very gathering place. So if we can have a space where we can still gather around, I would really appreciate if you can keep it in mind. And
Well, she covered a lot of it. And thank you again for your thought and concern. And we appreciate your giving our hearts and intention. And I do agree with the whole sound idea. I like the idea of the sounds you hear when we're quiet. When the train moves by, you have to be quiet because you can't hear each other. So there's a momentary pause, and as much as we do love the train, I don't think we want to add loud sounds to the environment. So soft sounds. There's a park next to at the tennis center in Winneka. And that park has maybe 3 or 4 noise-producing pieces, but they are beautiful. I mean, they are melodic. They have a melody sound and they're soft. So we don't mind sounds and we love them. But instead of this boom, 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 because we also have a lot of small boys in our boys in our community, something that would encourage maybe a gentle, softer sound would be loved and welcome. The other sounds you hear are the poplar trees. So we have a ranch-type neighborhood, and we hope it stays that way. There have been some larger houses, but in general, it's a very modest neighborhood. And so we have the poplar trees, you'll hear them in the summer. It's like rain. And so again, that's the kind of sound we like, and the train is a part of that, but it's a different part. Other thing is, Bella, I think you were thinking about this, but I don't know if you mentioned it, is we also are a gathering place for other families outside of Glencoe, in Glencoe, that have small children. The moms groups
are there. Oh, the playgroups. Yes, very
the playgroups. And so when you think about, and you have a whole group of preschoolers, and you have the koalas, 4 and 5 year olds coming from summer camp. So we do have large groups of smaller children, and so the thought is if you're planning this is, and I think someone brought this up, having the children's area, the younger children's area is great, but not putting it towards the train because parents are always worried about their children running back by the train, you know, and, you know, so placement of that area in comparison to the street, the train, and the woods would be something we would have to probably consider for the sake of those moms with multiple young children who come and it is a multi-generational neighborhood. I don't even have kids, but my grandchildren are coming. I have 4-year-old and 2-year-old twins. I have a 4-month-old granddaughter. So we're using the park again. The houses encourage you because they're ranches. They encourage people to live there for a long, long time. And even not the ranches, but Bella's parents are seeing it. So we're seeing a lot of rejoining families. Yeah, oh, and there's families that grew up in the neighborhood that moved back. So it's good to consider that because we cycle through this with multiple age things, right? Which makes me say that multiple stories are good in the park. I like the idea of climbing, but not just climbing over, climbing onto. Do you know what I'm saying? So a combination of this and this, because how do you play what's the game with that? We take sharks and whatever,
when you have lava, what do they call
it? You know, things that when you get a bunch of kids from kindergarten through fifth grade together, they're figuring out games to play together. That's what happens there, which is a wonderful dynamic to consider. And so we do need the multiple spaces. I apologize, but I appreciate your the other thing, Bella, that you didn't touch on is that we love the use of the going into the forest because the kids do it. But we would ask that if you were committed to that, that the park district does commit to keeping that clear so if a child does wander into there, you know, it's something that you always have your eyesight on if it's a small child, a 2 or 3 year old, walking into the woods.
So years ago, there was a passage that you could take, because I do a lot of cross-country skiing, and there was a passage that you could take from the park, and it would take you back to the Lake Coop. You go through Hoover Estate, there's a Hoover Estate right in the back, and people used to walk or just, personally, I would cross-country ski, and you go around and come to the Lake Coop.
And so some of the neighbors,
but the trail is gone.
Well, some of the neighbors have encouraged that trail, but it's very subtle. The other thing, we're not on that page together. I like our neighborhood dark, even though we're on the older side. We love that you spread it out and are making use of the space a lot, but we do also use the park for soccer, frisbee, baseball games. So
it's turning into 25 pounds
Yeah.
Well, that actually takes away and condenses if we keep some clear space.
Okay. What you have to understand is what's happened since that park was designed that you have.
Yes.
Play safety zones are probably twice the size.
Yeah.
So to put in similar equipment, you suddenly got an instantaneously much larger space.
Okay.
Just keep it in mind.
So think about the current actual play space that was there, the playground. So if we were to take that exact same equipment and put it in for 2017 standards, we would find that the borders and the safety space probably grow by 35%. So that includes how far the pieces have to be away from each other, how far they have to be away from trees, benches, the road, things of that nature. So part of Ultima News' challenge is building something that works but also meets all these new codes that really weren't around in 1998 or 1997 when this particular parcel was developed with the current playground. So John is just trying to inform everybody that, you know, it looks really, really spread out on the diagram, but you can see the shaded areas around the equipment. That's how far that equipment has to be apart from each other, from other structures. So that's part of the challenge of that we bring in John and Josie for.
And we don't find all the kids.
Yes.
Would you rather see the swings moved on the other side and have more open space on that side?
Well, I'm wondering about young families. Do they want the swings set up on there, especially if you have toddler swings there? I don't know. I don't know how I didn't understand the space, how much it needs, so that's great insight. And there is a lot of open space that doesn't need to be there, so I'm not saying keep it all, but a little bit of space that can be played around is also nice. Because the kids, again, it's a neighborhood where the parents say, go to the park and play. And how many of these, even out of these
open square footage to the current park?
I feel like, this is one of the ones that we can present to the park neighborhood that's not on the main street.
What?
You know, we're not off the freeway. We're in a neighborhood that the parents can say, and bike racks. Ride your bike to the park.
We do have bike
rest. Thank you.
Lisa?
I will say thank you so much for coming here and taking time to talk. You've got two other parks to go through and another.
Right, I know, I'm sorry.
So, but no, but no, I will say what you bring to the table is a cultural understanding of the neighborhood, which, unless you live there, you wouldn't know. So that is actually very helpful to talk about how you use it and so forth. One of the restrictions that we have besides things like fall areas is budget. And, half its space, zip line's a great idea.
And money.
Unlikely to be able to put a zip line in every park just because that takes up a lot of space. And, some of these pieces of equipment will be in one park, which you can also go to. They just won't be in every park. So that's one of the things. And thank you so much for input on the swings and the way you use the space and so forth.
Lisa, I think just takeaways for us from the board is to really show the distance from the developed structure to the property line on the train side. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably also need to compare open space square footage in the current concept with the future concept.
Yep.
So we can say, okay, we have 250 square feet of open space as it currently is, and in the new concept we'll have XYZ open space, because it can be difficult to look at this drawing and really get a sense for the scope of things and the scale of things. So I think that'll be kind of marching orders for us the next time we go to present this.
Terrific.
So what we have now is we only have, after design fees and surveys and all that kind of stuff, is $190,000 for this park.
Yes.
So really can't add any more equipment and things like zip lines. We would not be able, we'd have to take out a major, that's a really expensive feature. So really, do you want us to investigate a different theme than music? I guess that's really what we have to talk about right now, because that's a major thing. If you don't want to...
I think the theme is the problem. I think that what I'm hearing from them is we have to be conscious of how much sound if anything makes and how far it travels, which I would think you would be sensitive to that in any case, but certainly...
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly grouped in here, and your nearest house is actually off down here.
And they only make sounds when people are playing with them, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's not necessarily a big objection, just wanted to give you some insight into how sound is portrayed in the neighborhood. It's a very quiet neighborhood, so sound, what kind of sound? There are so different ways to bring sound out, and it could be the buckets that you bring out from your garage, or it could be, tinkling of
wind chime.
Anyways, chimes. So, thank you. And again, I'm glad you understand how we're really advocating for this community. I don't play in the park, but I work with kids all day and night. And I'm a very play-based teacher as well. And so, playing with their bodies and playing with toys, I bring kids to our park all the time, and I just want to understand how it works.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, any other boards?
We do like the water fountain, and we have many cyclists who go through our neighborhood as well. Just as an offshoot from Green Bay, and they also, I don't know if
taking
it
out.
Costs more to take it out than to keep it.
But there's 22 passive solar home in Century Mall. So understanding the architecture is also a very big part of the park and the neighborhood.
And all right. Thank you. Conceptually, why it works in our neighborhood, it's very geometrical. It's kind of reminds of Rainbow, right? But it's kept brothers, so it's definitely keeping the structure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So any other board input for us to go back or for John?
I wanted to mention on all three of these, it's always helpful for me to have a tagline that serves as sort of a target. For instance, the Woodlawn property that the I'll call it Prairie Conservation. This one will, I don't know, music and nature. I don't know, something that gives us a sense of direction just as we move forward. We can think about what our three tag lines might be.
Or themes, either way.
Themes,
yeah.
Right.
Themes.
So can we move on now to Vernon Jefferson?
I just want to make sure the other people were here. Are you going to part? This one?
Yeah. Vernon Jefferson, okay.
So Vernon Jefferson, take it away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to remind the board of the budget of this one also, which is also 190. Mm-hmm. Yep, 190 for this after design fees and stuff. So keep that in mind too.
Are the plans that John presented consistent with that?
Closer than farther.
We'd have to remove something. This is a little over budget right now.
All right.
Just so you know, just to give you an idea. All right.
My name is Ryan Cole. Thank you for everybody for coming here. I live on North Adams, and I'm also representing about 6 or 7 neighbors. So I've already got a few ideas. A lot of them are pretty crazy, so I'm running at me, but some of them are cool, and I want to see about it. One is a dog park, which is up here. But is that a possibility? There is no dog park in Glen Cove.
What we're going to be doing this year is that the board has talked about dog park for years. We can't find a location. So the plan is, one of our goals for this year is to do a meeting and show the community every site of dog park and really debate if there is a place to have a dog park. We have approached the Forest Preserve to see if there's any option there. That is not a possibility. So that's a goal for probably after, later on in after we get all the playgrounds done, to really start debating that issue. But we do not have anything in the budget. In the past, direction of the board is that would have to be a donated item because it would be a new amenity to the park, and we don't have it in our budget right now.
Swimming pool, is that a possibility in
the park? No, it has not been identified in our master plan. But we do have a beautiful beach, and we do have an agreement with Northbrook Park District to get resident rates at that pool. So,
okay, on to the stuff. Is there any way to incorporate a water feature similar to Hubbard Woods Park, where
water features are expensive as well as maintenance, so it's very much in your court.
It's out of budget probably for this, but it's always on our minds.
A good water feature would probably be our whole budget.
It would,
yeah. That's all you'd have in that park, yeah.
This park is over 2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Budget is 200.
This one.
Yeah.
What's the budget for the Woodlawn Park?
Right now, it is about 200 plus a contingency of another 200, so possibly 400 for that one.
400, 500.
400.
So I'm biased, obviously, excited.
That's all we have, 400.
Yeah. But population-wise, since it's more concentrated, do you guys think
yes.
Is there any reason to spend less than a lot more on this one? Again, I'm biased. So.
It's really tight.
I think it's the size and also in the close proximity to South School because it's along the same area. So South School has a playground within. There's two playgrounds within, I think.
Quarter mile,
so that's why.
We try to distribute the resources to
throughout the parks. And the footprint.
This is
both.
The Friends Park, too, right?
No.
It's
farther.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely Watts and which other one?
Central School and South School.
Does it make a difference based upon population, necessarily, or concentration?
No, population changes, neighborhoods change, so it's really about trying to spread it out in neighborhoods and trying to make sure that every neighborhood is served.
And the close proximity to other playgrounds
and the size,
in the area.
The size, yeah.
Good question.
Like a flat top area for four square games where footballs and kids to play with and stuff. Is that possible? Your thoughts on that? A lot of school yards have that, obviously.
Now, we just repaved at the school, right?
We did, at South School. So we just repaved the basketball court. So I guess that's our hardscape area, but we put it down if the board wants to consider it.
Yeah.
Drainage and space. And
yeah.
I mean, two basketball courts would probably be.
He didn't say basketball court. He said
hardscape.
He said. I can tell you the basketball court. We just redid the basketball court at Watts, which is if you go back to the overlaw picture, it's not that far away. So that's the location for the basketball court in this area.
But are you back to the blacktop area? What do you mean there?
Yeah, there you go.
Small.
Okay. Four square. So the basketball court, there's one right behind the ice center that was just refurbished. This just finished last week, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That whole strip on Vernon, those four rectangles going down south, is there any room for either another tennis court, which I know there's a bunch, or a half-court basketball court, just for people to kids and shoot it off?
That's not in the plans right now. That's mean in the future phases we couldn't do it, but right now. Right now, tonight's discussion is only talking about replacing the playground in that area, and that's what was budgeted for it.
See, for that, so I think you may have had to put a tall climbing wall. Your climbing wall is current memory, correct? Climbing wall or boulder in here?
Yeah. We have a thing called a rocket that you can climb up inside.
And then we had some rocks that we have to decide what goes in.
Yeah, climbing wall, what sort of scale are you?
Well, I thought you had a picture of one.
Can you go back to the drawing? Yeah.
They hit the rock with the swing on it.
Tarzan swing. Escape.
There you go.
That one?
This one.
That one.
They're joined by nets, two rocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was the rock.
See those bumps? It's probably the door. It was this little hand grip section across.
Sure.
Across.
Of course.
Because I know my kids personally would love that stuff for this go around. That's my one. I need to offer it.
Can't you also do that without blocks? I mean, you can be a bundle of logs or something going on as well.
Well, if we're encouraging climbing, we have to talk about safety surface.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't pull it. Yeah.
To give you a little background on what we've been trying to accomplish the last few years. 15, 20 years ago, a lot of neighborhood parks that were installed were similar to what I grew up in, called Big Toys. And they were timber structures with play levels and apparatus. And in this environment in the Midwest, these timber structures haven't lasted as long as some of us were hoping. So this park here at Vernon and Woodlawn was one of the parks that had a timber-based playground. And it failed faster than we thought last year, so we took it out. So we're trying to get these neighborhood parks with more so that's how this came up
right there. Yes.
Now. And we want to make sure that we have the conventional play components restored to this park in a very creative and new way. So which is why we're seeing this year. And it seems that creative playing can become very hard.
We already did that, that's all going to be here.
Zip lines. That was great. I almost zip line. I mean, maybe that's all expensive. Is that expensive?
Yeah.
That's a very expensive item.
Well, it's a footprint. Same thing. It's interesting.
One of the things you should talk with your six neighbors is if there's something that you guys think is really of paramount importance to your group and you could fundraise for something like that, that would go a long way towards enabling us to consider something that might be beyond our budget, that is still very much within the scope of appropriateness for this park and for the community this park serves. So if there's something you see as this design continues to flesh out that we can't really afford, and you guys want to step up and make a contribution, schedule a meeting with Lisa or Lisa, and you know try to see what you guys can do to help bring that to
What's the timeline with that?
That would have to be within the next 2 months because we're in the design phase and yeah.
Go around.
I'm from Vermont.
I'm almost done. Sorry. Let's see. A spinner that you had at the third part, the long part. So, is that an expensive item if you wanted to add to this part?
We just swap something out.
Have you been to that botanical gardens recently in this area where it's a bunch of grassy hills and mountains and hills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The kids, at least my kids, love running the top of them.
Absolutely.
We do have that in mind for a different part that's in a year or so.
Yeah.
Lakefront.
Yeah. We also have a discovery garden at West.
Where it's had more of an impact.
He's talking about the mountains.
We have some topography, but we don't have a lot of space in this particular.
So the floor would be similar to the one that's at West Square right now, or to the south?
No. Yeah. This would be wood chips. Yeah.
That's a road.
The last one is up here in this park. Is there any thought about putting a fence around the Burns Park? You know, across the street?
We do not have plans right now to put the fence in. Something the board can discuss later and find the funds for.
That's all I got. Thank you.
This is very, it's so good. First of all, it helps us to hear it from someone who gets stuff we think, but then we don't know what other people think. And, you know, we had five people from the community come. We should hear more, but he kind of represents a group that's really
hard. It'll be a dog park.
Oh, yeah, we'll be. Yeah. You're heard about that?
Just, yeah. I don't have a long list or anything, but you put it back to the John Collins. I've met some of you before. I live also on Adams Street, about a block away. First of all, what's interesting is the current park is like this big. So the fact that you've taken advantage of the rest of the landscape on here and just expanded it, regardless of what equipment you're putting in where, just that you're spreading it out is fantastic. So am I to assume that from Jefferson all the way up, that the grass and just everything's getting torn out and re-landscaped? Or is that just in the picture and you guys are focusing on this?
We would try and to as little innovation as possible, because
you guys switch sides.
Because of these trees.
Most of the trees are existing that are on there.
And another one here. So the playground is really split in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's halfway through. These are on the eastern side of the playground.
So existing.
So yeah.
And the central picnic area, is that just going to be tables, or is there...
Well, at the moment, we're thinking tables and then potentially some of those pebble seats.
Something portable. We would move it around when we cut the grass, so we don't we don't have like concrete pads or pavers or anything.
When the equipment was torn out in the last year, it was certainly noticed by a lot of people. It was unfortunate that happened, certainly understand why. But I'd like you guys to know that neighbors in the neighborhood, we ended up, like our kids didn't want to go to the park anymore here. It was always, let's hightail it up to friends. So it cut back a little bit on how often we go out to the parks, just because that's a trip, especially when you have like 2 and 4 year olds and stuff. But. So thank you for bringing some attention to this. Love the fact that you're bringing it back a little bit closer. Other than kids, the central picnic area, if there's any way to embellish that a little bit more. I know that parents get together down there. I know that's where I met a lot of my neighbors. It's just going out and hanging out there and swinging with my kids and stuff. And you guys know more about planning parks than I certainly do. I can't stand sandboxes. I know a lot of parents can't stand sandboxes because all it means is that if your kid does, that's great, they jumped in there, but then you're the one that has to clean it up. And they get sand in their shoes and everything. And so it takes, it's like going to the beach. It's like, it can go from, oh, just look, let's go to the park and hang out, to now, oh, we have to worry about, the sand and getting them cleaned up after going to the park. So if there's something to lose or swap out,
that's very helpful.
Probably do without a sandbox. Ryan, you have thoughts on that?
I agree with the sandbox.
I wish we had everyone in your neighborhood we could poll people, because it's so hard for us to know. I remember I loved my kids to play in the sandbox. I didn't care about the sand, and I just brushed them off. But I understand some people really, really hate it.
There's also health concerns. I don't know if it's maybe just your own individual sandbox. I don't know if it's the park or something, but I've heard different things, and I don't know if it's true or not.
And then 2 other quick points. Swings with 4 currently. I think they get used, all 4. I don't know if 6 is really necessary. I don't know what we're playing here, but
I think four. Yeah,
same.
Love the theme with the rocks and boulders. I'd love for you to focus more on that than people. The rocket, real quick. I feel like this is the type of playground equipment, the design anyway, that looks really cool now, but it could look really dated in a few years. I don't know if it's the colors or...
Yeah, don't focus on the colors, because the colors will totally change.
You know, the, like the stuff at John Thomas, or Jim, was it Jim?
Phil Thomas.
It's fantastic. It's awesome, like natural tones or whatever.
Right, that's
so,
what we usually do.
I don't know if like the moon theme is in place, or you said there's an alternate with like boulders or something.
It's all part of the same.
Yeah.
It's both. You'll get both, and it won't look like those colors.
Okay. All right.
Well, it depends how fast we get approval. So we're hoping that we'll get approval in January so that we can start the whole planning process to start construction in spring. No, at this point probably wouldn't be ready for summer. What are you thinking? Middle of summer?
Middle of summer, I mean, it really depends on when we can break ground. These are smaller sites, so, you know, 6 to 10 weeks depending on equipment availability for construction. So... really depends on, you know, it really depends on when we get out to bid.
And when we approve.
When we approve the bid.
Design,
when they can break ground. I mean, this one, obviously, we have the demo done on a lot of the equipment, so there'll be a little bit of speed there, but it would just be really too early to say at this point.
Yeah, we don't know. Summer, at some point.
The water fountain needs to keep some kind of water fountain.
That's staying. That's staying in this park. Cost more to take it out.
It's nice along all the parks. Like if you can always count on there being a water fountain by park, then people are running, biking, whatever, they know it's like a safe spot.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was very helpful. Thank you so much for taking the time to come.
Any other board opinion, staff, or board input?
I definitely like the boulders and the climbing. Shared with them the climbing wall idea. I kind of agree. I don't love the rockage. I do think that it will get a little dated, and something else could be put in that spot. And I know that that's an expensive equipment.
I just lost that exactly what she was saying.
Well, then I'm your third.
Yeah, such a classic piece.
It's a high visibility park, you know, it's a neighborhood park. Vernon is a main artery for people to get through our town. And so I think I would consider it slightly more subtle
more traditional structure.
Feature piece in there than that. And I'm all about retro because I grew up with it. Before it was retro.
He is retro.
So I'm retro. But I think they need something that's a bit more subtle visually.
Then it'll be just like a traditional.
A traditional
playground like other ones. So you know.
To advocate for the rocket, I cannot believe I'm doing this, but it thematically fits in. It looks like there's different heights of platforms, so it gives a little excitement to how far up are you going to go.
There's shade.
And it will be replaced by something that functions similarly, right? So it'll be something that you climb up to go down the slide. So I think we're looking at this, and you see retro chic. We're looking at this. If the colors were more natural, maybe we'd look at it differently. I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't be a rocket ship if it didn't have a point on it. That's what makes it go fast, Steve.
Yeah.
So imagine if that top was removed and it was just an open deck. It would be very similar. I mean, if you put the treehouse top on that, that would be really exactly what we have at Shelton Park, which we, you know, heard great feedback on. So are we talking about the colors, the top? I mean, because the function is there. You have three different levels of play for different age groups. You have lots of different elements. Slides. You have the tall slide. You have height. You have shade. I mean, you know, what...
Yeah, and there's shade. Right.
What elements... do we want to include? Is it just the top? Is it because it's pointed?
Or if we get rid of this, what would we replace it with?
An Eiffel Tower concept.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Mars and the Eiffel Tower. Great.
Okay,
perfect.
So, Lisa, I respect your opinion, but I'll respectfully disagree. I think that whole part of Glencoe, you know, repeat something John said, there's a ton of beautiful old oak trees there. I feel like this whole concept, even if it wasn't neon greenish yellow,
is inconsistent with that sort of natural feel there. I think that a climbing boulder, I'm not saying that is the answer, but that certainly feels like it belongs more in the landscape than
climbing boulder is in the
spectacular treehouse.
It's either, so you won't have the slides. If we just did a boulder, there would be no slides there, so you have to be okay with that.
Well, we can see if there's, you know, there's lots of different prefab boulder shapes now. Mm-hmm. You know, these, for instance.
A boulder with a slide?
All of them.
Sure. Then you two them really. Get up and then, yeah.
But they come with different components. We can add the
slide. We want to look at a different main play piece.
Pieces to it. We can see if we can add one and have a slide that comes off it.
That's awesome.
So it might actually help budgetary, the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josie, go.
Okay. That's good feedback.
Good.
All right.
All righty.
Ready to move on to the next one?
So let's move on to Woodlawn because we have another meeting after this, so.
That won't take long.
So you mentioned
treehouse. They did. Yeah. But nobody seemed to jump on.
Well, we've already done the treehouse.
We have a treehouse. You can go.
So we try to do different themes. Yeah. So we don't. We tend not to do the same theme from each one. So.
Okay.
Do you want to go to the playground design?
Comment on the Woodlawn Park.
This was my park, so I have. I mean, this is where my kids play, so I have a lot of experience here. So I wrote down four things that I just wanted to give feedback about. One is it's really squishy in there. It's very wet. Mm-hmm. I know drainage is always an issue that you guys are sensitive to.
That's I'm writing that down.
Really important.
Squishy. It's true. I know it's exactly what you mean when you say that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's there's a. I don't know if there's a desire line there that's obvious, but there's quite a few people, or maybe not quite as many people, have walked from south west to north east. But there's people that walk, that the yellow line is kind of horizontal, isn't quite right there. Where the foot traffic is?
Do you want to use the show?
The foot traffic is from here to here.
No, you can't have that one.
Right? Because people are walking here to get to the shopping center or the tram. And this part is like in here, the part is really squishy.
So alongside that desire line?
Well, it's less more dry over here actually than it's through here.
No, you're
the actual center of the park is very close. Yeah. Just east of the current play area.
I haven't spent a lot of time there in the past 4 years, but my sense is it kind of slopes down almost into the middle. So whatever the design is has to either install drainage or, and that sounds expensive, or accommodate reality.
We have a certain amount of under drainage.
So all the playground areas have under drainage accounted for, and then any concrete sidewalks would be pitched to drain. Mm-hmm. And then all the
boardwalks would be the this echoes a previous comment I made. There were a couple of your designs that kept more of the kids away from Green Bay Road, which I like a lot more than the ones. I saw one with the seating area kind of to the east, which I viscerally said, no way.
Right.
Yeah.
It may have been there to prove a point. Like this.
One of the round discs, maybe?
Yeah, there was one with something in the upper right corner.
Yeah, and I saw that.
And maybe it was the gathering space.
And that's a busy little intersection.
I
wouldn't want
to. I would take those
to the right.
Picnic Grove.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. True.
No problem.
And
this also points out that the main area you were describing would be part of this plan that would have under drainage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that would help.
Yeah.
So what you're saying also, we just have to put a stub.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good point.
True.
It at least provide a way for somebody to get up to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
The number of paths looked very expensive. That's just I think that's consistent on all of them. Like right now, you've got a playground in the middle of the square, and it's grass everywhere else, which has the disadvantage of the squishiness, but the advantage of being very cost efficient.
It's not ADA efficient.
Yeah. No. But I mean, I'm looking at this.
We can certainly reduce
three or four different cement paths through the park. There might be a way to make that a little more.
Well, considering what you just said, I mean, this whole piece could be removed and you just have the stub there.
Yeah.
Just to keep in mind one thing, the ramp is part of the playground.
Yeah.
This whole piece really is part of
the playground.
It will be on our website probably next week. It will be posted.
You come into the park, go around, and then you can go back to Woodlawn. Potentially, you loop around the park as long as you want.
Well, I would almost, I don't want to, you guys are much more creative, so, I'm just trying to give you
the idea. I'm going to try to have a new section.
So, getting people from this intersection into the park, and perhaps from here, because there's a lot of families that live along this street, that makes sense to me. But this whole thing here, I don't really see that.
That's what we're saying, we've been living.
Yeah.
And just
yeah, I mean, if anything, you maybe have, a little stub here.
That's what I was thinking.
To allow somebody to do this and walk to the bus stop.
Yeah.
Right, but not all of this pavement.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is up with you, Jeff?
Josh, the board never takes costs away. They always add costs. Good call.
Yeah.
He just never takes it.
Well, but this is not, you're right, you sort of nailed me, but this is not a path where people are going to go contemplatively walking through here, because this is the busiest road in town right here.
That's
Greenway
Road.
This is Greenway Road.
Right.
But I love this.
The other plans, too.
Okay, so.
Thanks,
Remove the top and go just with Green Bay.
Yeah.
I want to ask about the number of bike racks in this park.
Yeah, and obviously it's a popular thing in people's minds.
What is
zipline?
Oh, yes, yes.
So there we go.
And we have two of them that race each other, and that's kind of cool. So
yeah.
So and I like the spinny thing. I think that equipment-wise, that's kind of my favorite stuff.
Because it's the biggest and
yeah,
budget.
And the budget. This is represents the whole $400,000.
Yeah.
$40,000 budget, right?
Your plans spent less money.
What?
Your alternative plans for this park spending less money.
Perhaps. We actually have
one
for
it
to
come.
And take
it
away.
This is similar price.
Yeah, I mean, the rubber one.
Because it's equipment there.
Yeah.
So.
This one's more.
This one's more.
This one's more.
Yeah. Because of the asphalt,
so
the important place.
When I flip that one over, the trees don't really permit that.
Right.
Mm. So I would like us to consider the second one.
What do you guys think about the number of bike racks? There's a lot of bike racks in this park. Is that a good number, more, less?
Can you point where they are?
Need them, and I'll tell you why. A lot of kids take the public bus to high school from that stop.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. And they've been, you'll see bikes attached to trees and attached to poles and all kinds of crazy things. That's a spot where everything west of there, those kids come to Green Bay to jump on the bus.
Do you think you need them in both places or just one?
I think you need them in both places.
Oh, yeah, because actually, because during the summer, I'd come sit by this park a different day of each week to see how well it was used. You wouldn't believe the amount of strollers that come in and park there.
Yep.
It's amazing. At lunchtime, this place was hopping, which I never saw before, but you get to sit there sometimes and just watch it. The amount of parents and children and going on the swings. That's why the swing concept really appeals. There's tons of kids on swings, on the zip lines, running around. So
and there will be families going here after school when they pick their kids up at South.
Yeah.
They'll go over there and play for a while. I think it's going to get a lot of use.
I think we're showing 12 bike racks.
The adult or big kid bike racks need to be by the bus stop. Anybody else that's biking here is like, you know, a six-year-old that's riding their bike and just dumping
it in the
playground.
They're very close. And it's nice to have them on the side street too.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you think of this alternative for the park?
Which was your
to the
favorite?
Right.
Well, we want to drop off that eastern.
Let's see, Green Bay Road.
Mm-hmm. Which was your favorite?
I just saw it.
This one.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The reason being
to take out that
the containment of
the
tanks.
Yeah.
The
fact
that the ramp, right? This is a path, it's a ramp.
Don't think so.
I do, but I think we'll spend it somewhere.
That high point is up against the oak tree.
Oh, we'd spend that other place.
It'll give an experience that you're not going to get in any other park.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us the opportunity to create all sorts of different environments under, kids running under, and then from different levels.
Until it ends. In a non-traditional way.
So that's a ramp, so that's...
So you start here at grade and you slowly ramp up. We're not necessarily saying
that.
Yes, but...
At the moment, sure.
I give the people what they want.
I don't want to get on board with
zip lines.
Yes.
I love it.
Everybody asks for a zip line. You have to keep it someplace.
I think it's so
cool. They ask about the prairie concept because that's not cheap.
But there's also smaller zips that we can do that aren't as expensive that are on some of the play features. They don't work as well.
What's that?
They don't work.
They don't work.
It's not going to be the excitement.
No, it's not the same at all, but...
If you're going to do it, right.
If I were going to, I think I like this one conceptually the best, but I would just kind of get rid of the eastern half of it and put the gathering space where the picnic
room I would move those over there.
Maybe I'd move the zip line where it was in one of the other designs, or I'd get rid of it altogether. But I like how people are away from the... I know we can arm wrestle about that street. I like how the kids and the people are away from the street, but I love the savanna.
Because the grasses aren't cheap either. I mean, but I like that look.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, I love it.
It can be done over time.
Yes, it can be done over time. You're right. Like landscaping should be done over time.
I like having the zip lines move. If we can retain them, that's terrific. But I think it's nice having the eastern third of the park as it runs from north to south. Grasses and more natural as a buffer from the Green Bay Road, both visually and sound wise. And to keep the kids away from the road.
So
that's actually where we start. We'll be kind of difficult to get the zip lines in. What?
Yeah.
Two zip lines, we're having trouble getting people to the road.
Yes.
You had it in one of your other
ones. We did.
We
were wrong way.
Why don't we just put a zip line down the lakefront bluff?
But it was starting to get
people
to the
road. Oh my god, that would be so fun.
Ooh.
We'll be popping down the bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people would only have to ride them.
They are double, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are double.
So,
but there's, Shea worked on this, has forgotten we need a landscape buffer there.
Seems a
little
to
the apartments.
Yeah, that's too close.
I think that's too close to the houses.
Other apartments.
So,
they really are.
You know what I was thinking, if we were going to do a zip line, where it would be cool is in the northern part of Old Elm. This is down, you're down to
the road,
but like through the trees.
Oh, my God, that would be fun.
Awesome.
We need direction on the zip line.
Okay, does anyone have anything else to add?
We need direction on the zip line.
Well, let's go down the line. I say you've got to keep the zip line. I think we heard it loud and clear. And this is the largest park, and it takes up a lot of space. This is the place for it. I agree entirely with Josh. Move the gathering space, boulders, pod things, over to there. I think it addresses the fact that this is a neighborhood park where people like to gather for larger neighborhood things, and also gets things away from that very busy intersection, and we can probably eliminate that path that winds along there, save ourselves a few dollars, it doesn't, and make sure the path does go,
links up
to there to
to get them in a shorter way.
Can we do one zip line instead of two so that it's a smaller footprint and might be able to be relocated and to not be as expensive?
I'm sure we could, but one of the exciting things about ziplining is ziplining with somebody next to you. So you have raised your race and stuff like that. So it reduces the excitement, the function of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the pitch.
I think what we also heard from people, which I agree with, and I know everyone can throw with you on sandboxes, you know I don't like them for those reasons, and that's why I kind of mentioned in the beginning to me, like, do we have to have them in every park? Mm-hmm. I know we don't like to take away amenities that are already there, so I totally understand that, but I don't think we have to have them in every park. And the swing, I think we heard from the women that were here too, is maybe something different and more exciting. I know we're trying to get in the big swings. I also really like, I know you did the Maggie Daly skate park, so I know you're very familiar with that park. And they do have amazing swings, and they have that big boat. And they have, I know the one that she was talking about. It's like the fabric, and I've seen a lot of kids get on that one. And it's lighter, so it moves. The plastic ones are a lot heavier, so kids can't move them themselves. So,
so that's old on.
Something like the ones in Maggie Daly.
I think that the unique stuff should be more standard. And we have standard inventory.
That's not what people think.
Dudley?
With your comments, I do like the zip line farther removed from the apartments. As is shown, this is my favorite diagram.
Yes,
right. With those modifications that we talked about.
Josh, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I just have a question for John. How do you elevate the ramp? Are there steel poles that are going to
come? It could be either with steel or wood. Mm-hmm. So when we were sketching, we liked the idea of a wood deck or concrete, which is more expensive, of course.
It can be treated.
Try to make a reference to the trees with the supports of this. So we'd have to work on it and design it. One of the other things is, instead of having everything vertical and looking very heavy, is starting to lean the supports, so they start to have a more natural look. We'd have to bring these sketches.
That maintenance issue, though?
Well, wood, in particular, the playground, we are limited by law what type of materials that can be made out of. So the wood that is used in the playground can't be treated. But this would probably be considered more of a deck pathway. So we probably would be able to use like structural timber that you would use on a deck for your house. I mean, that would be my guess. We wouldn't fall under those same categories. So, you know, we would expect this to last just as long as, you know, any deck that you would put on a house, 15, 20 years would be the lifespan, 25 years.
Ramp area with a lot of shade, so I would last the shorter end of whatever we expect.
I agree with Steve, because I totally agree with that. I am sensitive to what this is going to look like horizontally from Green Bay Road.
True.
I'm not sure that a round steel, you know, post is.
I better explain that. What I'm thinking about is not using massive supports, but many smaller ones that are very thin. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just expressing my concern that I think this looks really warm because we're looking at the top of the wood deck, right? And you got to remember the visual theme that you have here is oak savanna.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, so you need to do something to support that and isn't sort of jarringly out of place as you look at it from the side.
No problem.
Probably need to talk about a cross section.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add? You're good? Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll be only on Woodlawn, and I know we have a lot more to get to, so I'm going to make it very short.
Sure.
On Woodlawn?
Yeah, but I thought we were only talking about Woodlawn. Are you talking about all the rest of them? Like,
no. Really just Woodlawn, but if you have something you'd like to talk about,
do you want to go back to the other ones? Because we need that input now.
Yeah, I just wanted to. I think, like I said, equipment-wise, I think we're the closest on Woodlawn. I think that from the people here, too, and things that we discussed before, like, I think we need to push the equipment a little bit more in terms of, I think what the Elm neighbors were saying is maybe a little bit more modern. I think they're concerned about their architecture in the neighborhood. And they mentioned, my notes are really screwed.
quickly here, but...
You want the equipment less modern? Because
that is very modern equipment.
It is modern, yeah. But not in a...
The houses
in
the area.
In a different kind of sense.
Mid-century. They're mid-century modern.
Right.
They're very horizontal.
Yeah.
Use a lot of dark wood, a lot of glass, so you know exactly what you're talking about.
Very little insulation.
You know, more on that. A little bit more, a lot of love.
Yeah.
Ninja style. They want to climb up, they want to climb a rock. I think we did that climbing bridge in there that was nice, but we keep hearing the same things, and we'll probably get more feedback kind of saying those same things. So
we can.
They want to.
There is one issue. When we start getting into designing so it goes with, say, that architecture, it becomes custom.
Mm-hmm.
Price. Mm-hmm. Also, when you start designing play equipment, you take on all the liability. So one of the issues we always have is trying to find pieces that fit with what people want, so the company that produces it has the liability, and not you or us.
Yeah.
There
are pieces. But
we can certainly go look.
Very
important. The lighting play pieces will be a new
agreement. We're not having an oversight with this. We're not taking that liability. They're just going to find something in the construction that works for that.
We can have
right? Okay. Yeah. We do. Do you have any, are you okay with all things on the special board meeting?
Yes.
So, really, you can't say no because really, the little storage thing somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. You're, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
Very good.
Thank you. Good input.
I appreciate that. That was a concern I had, that we've gone so far from that. Well, basically, the equipment, you can line this up if you don't have money. And I think you understand what we're asking you to consider what's there now. Our levels, slides, come in one way and go out another. And that's how the kids in the neighborhood can play. So, and also, I did have a concern you have on the slides, which I love, but you have the climbing arms to get to the top, and then there's the potential of falling backwards. And we do have a lot of younger kids, and so my concern right now, everything goes up to decks that create places for toddlers to be, even for a moment. Do you know what I'm saying? As opposed to
landing.
Yeah, the one step up and then you have a short landing.
So that always becomes the challenge. Providing something for the older kids that's interesting
totally.
And engaging, and there's toddlers who would,
right.
You know, so that
are really.
And I remember when my grandson was jumped on.
Yeah.
My grandson was climbing along the basement. So that, I'm not afraid of them climbing.
Yeah.
I'm saying the safety when you get to a point, because kids can climb up before they realize they're there. So, but also, it's the connectivity of the pieces. It's something I wasn't feeling was there. So, okay, sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
But we do want to stay within that budget amount. So I want to be very, very, cautious that in our little pocket parks, we're not right. We're not trying to put a $400,000 playground in our little pocket parks, right?
And $190,000 park.
Okay.
That's right.
Plus, so we're staying with the budgets, right?
To building into it later.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the best thing about your park is it's a phased kind of.
Okay.
We want to stick with these budgets and have them designed to that.
Yeah, we're sticking to these budgets and having them designed to those budgets, right? We're going to stick to our budgets, right?
Yeah, those are ceilings. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay.
We should be designing to something under the contingency for those.
Of course.
Right, exactly.
That's what we are.
Except for Woodlawn, that goes in the 400.
Yeah.
Right.
What's there?
Spectacular designs, and I hope we can find a way of getting any budget.
Really exciting, really.
And you're okay with spending the $400,000 for Woodlawn?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, that's
sounds good.
Easy to do.
Okay.
This
any
is
other?
An envelope, the central place that we all seem to be very excited about.
Yeah, and it's a focal. I mean, when people come in the Glencoe, this says something.
It's the first step in town.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Is that good?
Thank
you very much. You guys really
amazing.
Exceed our expectations. So.
Oh my goodness.
You exceed our expectations. This was amazing. So thank you.
It's exciting to think about all the destination points within our community.
Okay. So Lisa, do you want to adjourn this meeting? We take a little 5-minute break.
Do you want to do that? Okay. So
we don't have that much of time.
No, we don't have to take a break at all.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
You can't.
Okay. I second.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Because you're not a member of the committee.
Oh.
So I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay.
So Boren is second, and then okay. Yay. So you can officially do that. I'm sorry. No, you're looking forward to that.
No.
You can't do that.
Hopefully my life's more exciting than that.
I should start drinking at noon, so my suggestion is you come out about 11:30.
I want you to find out.
The party starts at 6 p.m.
Preschool.
No.
It's a day camp.
Just summer. So preschool never goes in. Okay. So I'm like, didn't think they did.
It's the temperature. It's the walking for that length of time.
Yeah. Right, exactly. They don't have time. Yeah.
Okay. So it's
So what's the budget breakdown for each park?
With the design fees or with?
With design fees. Whatever is the appropriate number. Yeah. If you want to just email it to me, I'm not going to
send it to me, and I'll
And what's the acreage for each park? The acreage.
Well, the acreage. Yeah.
And any idea when they were last renovated? Right, and then okay.
I think we're.
Right, so I said the budget. I couldn't hear all these guys all that way. There were like Josh was saying like different pathways and things like that. I'll talk to them or something.
I mean, it's all conceptual.
Right. Okay. So she wants to do. You want to get started in January and have it done by midsummer.
So first action is not done. So the construction is actually the shortest part. Since we've been talking about this actually since like June or July, when we just had a bunch of parks to do, that's conceptual. And then once you approve the conceptual action design, then we're done for the bid, do the bid, start construction scheduling, and then
okay.
So I know it seems like a really long process, but
okay.
In reality,
all right. Okay. All right. But the idea is to get started in July and get started with
starting late spring, early summer.
Okay, and finish in midsummer. I thought that was what I heard.
We do not know. It depends on the schedule. It's really too early to say.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you.
And this is part of the master plan, though.
These are all master planned. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. All right. I'm not going to get to this for a day or two. So.
No, I'll get the list.
Okay. Thanks.
And trip over the center.
They feel that you are surrounded in a family.
All right, guys. Can we get started? Sethi's going to send us some pictures.
Okay, great.
Thinking, which all on landscape structure. That's good.
Perfect.
Okay.
You'll be able to send pictures out to
you. I love them. They're good.
No, I just said she has some ideas that she's thinking that the neighbors. She knows the neighbors really well, and so she's going to send them out to me.
Sounds like a good plan.
So we can pass them to them.
Okay.
How about pictures of the plan? Can we get copies of that?
You will once. Yes, we'll post it online. And we'll send it out with the minutes.
Okay. Great.
Without a doubt. Did you think we had to do this?
Excuse me?
He had to leave pick up his son.
Oh,
I don't think he knew it would take this long. Oh, I thought I shut this off.